Good morning. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN here on a Tuesday. It is the first Tuesday of the month, which means we're talking with our Manhattan City officials. Joining us on the program via Zoom, Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And Mayor Wynn Butler. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you both on here this morning. And a lot of nice community events going on here recently. And I know one of them, we should probably highlight this. We didn't talk about it in the newscast this morning, but I know Mayor Butler just came back from there over at RCPD.
Yep, got the accreditation again. I think it's the ninth time in a row. So, you know, they're doing a great job down there. Not all police departments are accredited. So you got to give RCPD, a shout out for just doing excellent work.
Yeah, quite a few people out there. I know they had a nice little thing of refreshments and such.
Oh yeah, you get refreshments afterwards. I didn't stay for that because I needed to come get on the Zoom broadcast. But yeah, quite a crowd there. You know, the law board was there. A lot of people from the community. Line of cars along the street there, so it looks pretty good.
All right, very good. Well, it's nice to see activities happening again. I thought I might just start here a little bit, getting some clarification, because anytime we make changes here at the county or city level to ordinances, there tends to be a little bit of confusion out there. And Sunday night, of course, was the end of the Raleigh County mask ordinance. And a lot of people have been asking, well, what does that mean for the city? And, you know, I've explained it to a few people that it doesn't change anything here. The city's ordinance remains in place until May 16th. And as far as I know, that's not going to change.
That's correct. Like I noticed RCPD did a great little Facebook post up yesterday on that, and basically, you know, said here are the rules, and they just had two little charts there, and it basically said, you know, in the city, you know, masks are still required, you know, in all places of business and things like that. And then they had a slot on the sides, and in the county, you know, not required unless a business requires it. And that's the other little kicker, because even, you know, like if I own a store in Raleigh County and I want to insist on my customers wearing masks, I can still do that. And as RCPD posted, it's like the, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service concept. And so even when the mask ordinance expires, you know, people can still wear them. And also if you own a business, you can still require it. You know, like, I don't know what the big box stores are going to do, you know, Menards and places like that, that they still had signs up yesterday requiring a mask, and they may continue it past the 16th. So, you know, that's still the caveat in there. And, you know, I think that when we made the decision in April to go with 16 May, I mean, it was a long thought out process and got input from everyone. And I just felt like we should have stuck with it. And part of my logic was we should have supported the health department. They came up with a date of the 16th May, and changing it, you know, 2 weeks before just, sort of once again throws all that out the window on supporting the EOC and trying to keep things in sync. And that's what causes part of the confusion, you know, about the whole thing. And so, you know, the city, a couple people sent me emails, so why don't you, you know, change it tonight at the meeting? And of course, the dynamics of that are a little bit different than is at the county, because normally it takes two readings for us to pass something. During the pandemic, we changed it to one reading, but there was a caveat put in there, which said any commissioner can request a second reading anyway during the pandemic. And we're not on agreement on this mask thing. We never have been. And so it's not going to be possible to get a 5-0 vote on ending the mask mandate. And so that means it would take a second reading, and that can't happen until the next legislative session, which would be May 18th, which is 2 days past the end date of the ordinance. So basically, we came to the conclusion as a group, consensus, not to put it on the agenda and just leave it alone. And it just goes away 16 May. And I think everybody can endure that. And that's the end of the school year. And it gives plenty of time for everyone to get vaccinations. And I think that's about as good as it's going to get.
Yeah. You don't anticipate it'll be extended beyond that? You think it'll just flat out end on May 16th?
Well, right now it's not on the agenda. So, you know, that's my point. It's not going to be discussed to be extended or ended early. I mean, we made that decision in April.
Yes.
And unless some catastrophic thing happens, mean, there's always an exception, something really catastrophic, and the health department comes forth and, you know, decides to lock down the entire county. Well, that's a different story.
All right. Fair enough. Well, it's definitely been a contentious issue, and I appreciate you kind of clarifying that for our listeners here this morning. City Commission does have a legislative meeting here tonight, and we kind of just kind of start taking a look at what is coming up here. I see there is a public hearing tonight, Mr. Fear.
There is. So every year we get an allocation of community development block grant funds, and that we run those funds on more of a fiscal year, so mid-year to mid-year. And so this is the public hearing for how we're proposing to spend this year's allocation. This is, we became an entitlement community after the 2010 census. So we've been able to focus a lot of these funds. These are from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, again, community development block grant funds, come to cities that are greater than 50,000. We, in our first year, we got just over $630,000, and it went up, and now it's come back down. Our allocation for this year, beginning in July, is about $534,000. We've also gotten a couple of different rounds of CARES money for COVID pandemic relief last year. As a result of that, I haven't heard whether we'll get additional COVID relief in from HUD, but I anticipate there could be. But this is our kind of our annual action plan for how to spend those funds. We've had engagement components to really try to target. These funds need to be spent on low and moderate income neighborhoods and improvements that will benefit everyone. And so just an example of some of the programming we've done over the years. We've helped fund public service agencies with homelessness prevention, housing counseling, landlord-tenant counseling, mental health services, services for the victims of child abuse, essential civil legal services, housing rehab. Since in 11 years we've been an entitlement community, we've renovated over 100 low and moderate income owner-occupied single-family improvements, as well as some emergency improvements for things like HVAC, water, sewer, accessibility improvements, those type of things. Other folks that have received funds over the years have been the Crisis Center, the Douglas Center, Breadbasket. We did some Longs Park improvements, the Manhattan Emergency Shelters, ADA improvements, and other public improvements. So there's a good number of things then and improvements that have occurred. What we're proposing to do with this year's allocation, again, there's just over $500,000in available, about $534,000 to spend. We can spend up to 20% on housing and fair housing and administration funds. So this is where we use for our fair housing seminar, as well as some of our admin support for our different programs. And that's about $106,000. Public services, we're proposing, there's a 15% cap in the funds on this, about $80,000. And this would go to housing and credit counseling, Kansas Legal Services, the Manhattan Emergency Shelter, the Pawnee Mental Health Services, and Sunflower CASA are the proposed recipients of those particular funds. And then about $157,000 is targeted for housing rehabilitation. So as I mentioned, we've done over 100 the last 11 years. And so this is a comprehensive single family housing rehab and emergency accessibility rehab program, also for owner occupied mobile home emergency and rehab assistance. And then the final section is $190,000 for public facilities and neighborhood infrastructure. And we're proposing improvements at 5th and Leavenworth. So this is near the high rise and near the post office. There's the intersection there of Fifth Street, sidewalk improvements, ADA improvements for the ramps. We're talking about putting some bulb outs at those locations to make those sidewalk crossings shorter. Also some calming devices by those curbs extending out in the actual crossways like we've done downtown, where we that visual barrier slows the traffic down through there. That's supposed to be a 20 mile an hour speed limit through there. A lot of folks see us with the flashing trailer there a lot, because you know, a lot of people getting in and out of their cars to go to the post office and other places there. So we're trying to do some things that improves walkability there, but also improves some traffic control there. So those are the proposed improvements, and we're required to hold a public hearing on those proposals and provide the public an opportunity to comment. We have had other engagement opportunities for folks to comment, and we'll certainly review those tonight. Again, this is part of our annual allocation for distribution.
And how much did you say is, maybe you didn't say this here, it was allocated for the new shelter for the crisis center? Is that part of that?
So I don't know that I've got that specific amount. Let me look that up. So I don't know if the allocation is to, I don't think it's to the shelter construction program. It's okay. To the agency for agency support.
Okay, very good. I'll tell you what, let's take a timeout. We'll come back more in focus right after this. We're talking with City Manager Ron Fear, Mayor Wynn Butler on News Radio KMAN.